Both of my children now like to play doctor. They have their, coats and, their scrub hats and all of that, and they really like giving shots. That's kind of their favorite part. So they have this little plastic thing, and they like jabbing it into you and pushing down. And they enjoy playing doctor. I know many of us maybe grew up playing doctor. There's a difference between playing doctor and being a doctor, right? A real doctor doesn't just get to give shots whenever they want. They have to go through many, many years of med school and residencies and all of those things. They are entrusted with people's lives. They get into messy situations. They have times where they have to deliver bad news. They keep strange and long hours oftentimes. There's one other difference, though, between playing doctor and being doctor. When you play doctor, no one actually gets healed. In fact, sometimes I'm worse off once my kids are done with me. I talked to Dr. Abby Galetsky this week. I emailed her to ask her, with all of the struggles of becoming a real doctor, all of the years of meds of school, and not to mention the student loans and all of that, why go through all of that? Why would you want to endure that, to actually be a doctor? And she said this. She said, I chose to go to medical school because I thought it was so rewarding to be able to do what I'd done as a kid, playing doctor, being able to diagnose the problem and offer a cure. She said it was challenging but gratifying at the same time. There was that reward of being able to cure and heal people. And she went on to talk about how becoming a surgeon, she actually gets to do that quicker. She doesn't have to just, give some medicine and wait for it to take place. She gets to see one moment, there's a tumor, and the next moment there isn't. She loves being able to see that healing, to see that curing happen. I think the same is true about the difference between playing church and being church. There is a way that we can go through the motions of church, just like my kids go through the motions of giving shots and listening to your heart and all of that, and actually being with the risen Christ and seeing people transformed and healed. Now, the series we're doing these 3 weeks here in August, rotating pastors among the churches, the idea for the theme of it came from Pastor Cindy at Messiah Lutheran, and she said, why don't we all just pick our favorite Bible stories? Which, this is a big book. There's a lot of stories in this book. And so we were asked to choose one story, our favorite story from this book, and share it with each of our churches and then other church communities around us. And so that's a hard thing. And so I think the question then is, why would I have chosen this story, the Emmaus Road, Luke 24, why this story of all of them? And for me, the answer is this story, as much or more than any others, has come to me to be a story of what it really is like to be the church, to be disciples of Jesus, to be a community that proclaims and experiences the presence of the living Christ. Now, in the other churches, or at least last week at Cross Point, I had way more time. And so what I did was I talked about the five places where the disciples on the road encounter the risen Christ. And I'm going to kind of shorten that part up this morning. But they're important nonetheless, and so I want to note them for you. Where the disciples encounter the risen Christ is in their struggles, as they are talking about the hard things that have been going on, trying to piece those things together. That's where Jesus shows up. And they don't know it's Jesus because he doesn't just fix everything right away, right? Sometimes Jesus is in our struggles and we don't know it. Sometimes Jesus is just drawing us out. What's going on? Tell me more about that. They find Jesus in their struggles, even though they don't know it's him yet. They find Jesus in the stranger, this strange man who seems to have been living under a rock over this last week, doesn't know what's going on, but they find Jesus, that's who Jesus ends up being, and they welcome him in. And that's so important, because in our times of grief and fear, a lot of times that's when we circle the wagons and don't let any strange or potentially dangerous people in. But in their time of grief and fear, they welcomed in the stranger. They find Jesus in the scriptures. We'll come back to that. They find Jesus at the table. That's where their eyes are opened. We'll come back to that too. And they find Jesus in their own stories. By the end of this story, the story of the risen Christ isn't someone else's story. It's not just this thing that happened. They're able to say to the other disciples, "We have seen the risen Christ." It's their story. As they are telling their own story, they're also telling the story of Jesus. And I think that's so important for us as disciples. When we tell our life stories, even what happened to us this week, are we also telling the story of God at work in our lives? Or do we somehow divorce what we believe and talk about and sing about on Sunday with Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so on? And that's where they find Jesus again, as they're telling their stories, all the disciples telling their experiences of the risen Christ, Jesus shows up again among them. Before this morning, I just want to sum it all up and suggest that Jesus can be found in the Word and at the table. Word and table. These are the two moments when the disciples are stirred, where they can feel kind of a rumbling happening in their life, where there is something more going on. They say at the end that when Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, they say, "Were not our hearts burning inside of us?" I love that phrase. Luke kind of likes these phrases too, because in Acts 2, when Peter is sharing the good news of Jesus, Luke writes this other great phrase. He says, "The people were cut to the heart as they heard the good news of Jesus being proclaimed." So they hear as Jesus explains the scriptures, explains to them the story of the Christ. Of course, they're not knowing he's talking about himself. But as they hear the story of the scriptures opened up, their hearts burn within them. And then, when Jesus takes the bread and gives thanks and breaks it and gives it to them, where have we heard that before? That's where their eyes are opened. And they know for certain that it's Jesus sitting with them. These are the two moments in that story where things turn. And as the Word is opened up and as they sit at table together and bread is broken. Again, there's a difference in going through the motions and actually living it. When we talk about finding Jesus in the Word, in the Scriptures, that's more than just going through the motions of opening up our Bibles and reading a couple verses for the day. There's a difference between doing that and actually having the living Christ come alive, be the living Word in us, make our hearts burn, because we're so vulnerable when we come to the Scriptures. God, I open myself up to you, just as the disciples opened themselves up to this stranger. They were totally vulnerable and open, and let the Word be spoken to them in a way that made their hearts burn, that made something change inside of them. When we talk about the table, there's a difference between just kind of having a potluck and sitting down at a table for a meal and having our eyes opened to recognize the living Christ among us. You know, I think there's a reason that when Jesus said, remember me, he chose bread and he chose a cup of wine, which is the most common drink of the day. Because there's such fundamental things that we go to for us three times a day. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, remember me once a month on the first Sunday of each month when you break this special loaf of bread and drink from this special cup. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Jesus chose bread and chose a cup because he knew we would be going back to it day after day after day. And every time we would break bread and every time we would drink from our cups, we would remember that every good gift has been given to us by God. And we know that through Jesus Christ, who is God's greatest gift to us. You see, there's a difference between just reading the Bible and eating a meal and having our hearts burn within us and having our eyes opened to the living and risen Christ. And I think in this story, we see what we are invited to as disciples and what we're called to as disciples. What makes the difference? Well, again, for the disciples, I think it's their vulnerability. They're wrestling. They're trying to figure life out together. It's their vulnerability as they share their struggles together on their road and with a stranger. I think it's their hospitality. Their willingness to welcome in someone new who can tell them a different story, who can give them a different perspective. And in this case, it just so happens to be Jesus. And it's their joy. Their joy as they share the story with the other disciples that creates space for Jesus to come back and be known among them again. And I chose this story because I have felt that burning when I've opened up the Word. You know, John being here this morning, I was a weird kid because I loved Bible studies. In church. I loved it. I loved confirmation because when we opened up the Word, there was something that happened. And it was only later that I really realized what was going on there, that the living Christ was present in this story. But I have had my heart burn as the Scriptures have been opened up to me. And I've had my eyes open as I've sat at the table and had bread broken with brothers and sisters in Christ, when I've been in community with brothers and sisters in Christ who could tell the story of Jesus and share it as our own stories, I've had my eyes opened. And I desperately want more of that for me, and I desperately want it for you. And I hope that we desperately want that for people out there. That there would be a story that they hear that makes their hearts burn. And there would be a table where they can come and see that God is present. Sometimes we all get caught up in playing the game of life. I mean, literally the game of life. You've played the game of life, right? Where you take your car and you drive around the board and you put little pieces in it and you try to build your fortune and you try and make it to the end first. And we've all gotten caught playing the game of life in reality. There's a difference between playing life and being alive in Christ. In becoming like Jesus and seeing others come alive as you interact with them. It's an amazing thing. There's a difference again between playing church, you know, reserving pews, rearranging budgets, complaining about the Republicans or the Democrats or the weather at coffee hour. There's a difference between playing church and being church. Being vulnerable with one another, practicing hospitality to the stranger, being a joyful community where the risen Christ is experienced both by us and by other people. And I want that, and I hope you do too. There's no other application this morning than to ask, how are you relating to the church? Do you just want to play church, or do you want to be the church? Let's pray. Risen Christ, not all of us know the next moment where our hearts will burn or our eyes will be opened. But we pray that you would make us ready for it. That you would help us to practice vulnerability and hospitality and the sharing of joy that we have in you. And keep our eyes open for that moment where you will come alive in us and in others and in our community. Give us those burning hearts to see that be true of us, to see that be true of our church. And God, guide us along that path. Walk with us along that path as we seek desperately to experience your presence among us. We pray it all in the name of the living and risen Christ. Amen.